Let's get to the UK, where Prime Minister David Cameron and his Conservative Party won an unexpectedly decisive victory in yesterday's elections. Cameron met with the Queen today and then returned to his office at 10 Downing Street, where he announced he will form a new majority government.
I truly believe we're on the brink of something special in our country. We can make Britain a place where a good life is in reach for everyone who is willing to work and do the right thing.
The BBC's Rob Watson is with us from London. And Rob, the Labour leader, Ed Miliband, also spoke today, saying that he is stepping down after his party's defeat.
Britain needs a Labour Party that can rebuild after this defeat so we can have a government that stands up for working people again. And now it's time for someone else to take forward the leadership of this party.
Rob, why did Labour suffer such a huge defeat, and how much of that was a referendum on Miliband?
I think they suffered a big defeat for two reasons. Number one is the most obvious of all, recognisable to any American voter, the economy. Hmm. It's widely felt in Britain that the last Labour government, which left office in 2010, had made a right mess of the economy, had left it all in a horrible state of debt and deficit, and that they just weren't trusted again on the economy. And as for Mr. Miliband himself, although it was felt he had a reasonably good campaign, I mean, he's just not, as far as the British people were concerned, obvious leadership material.
And we also had two other leaders step down, Nick Clegg, the leader of the Liberal Democrats, and Nigel Farage from the UK Independence Party.
Absolutely. You know, in many ways, UK politics resembled one of those sort of medieval battlefields after the votes have been counted, with the smoke's clearing and there are the defeated armies of Labour and Liberal Democrat and groaning on the ground, three leaders decapitated, including Nick Clegg, until now the Deputy Prime Minister and leader of the Liberal Democrats, and Nigel Farage, who's leader of this rather interesting, controversial, anti-immigrant, anti-EU party. Now, in his case, although they'd actually done rather well in terms of the large numbers of votes that were cast, they didn't under Britain's very peculiar and particular first past the post-electoral system get any more than one MP out of 650. He didn't win a seat, and he just felt, therefore, right, he promised he would go, and he did.
Well, let's talk about a party that did very well, the separatist Scottish National Party, which took almost all of the 59 seats in Scotland. That was the big blow to Labour. And one of the SNP's winners was a 20-year-old college student, Mari Black, who is going to be the youngest lawmaker in the UK since the 1600s. Here she is speaking last night.
Whether you voted for the SNP or not, and whatever your views are on Scotland's future, I will seek to represent you and everyone in this constituency to the very best of my ability.
Rob, what do last night's results mean for Scotland's future and the possibility of another push for Scottish independence?
Well, if I continue my earlier metaphor of the medieval battlefields, yeah, in that kind of mist of the battlefield, down marches these 56 MPs, the tartan army from Scotland to London to wreak havoc. I guess the short answer to your question is, look, I don't think it means that there's going to be another referendum next weekend or that Scotland will be independent by the end of next year. But I think at the very least, it really does have to keep the whole debate alive, doesn't it, about Scotland's position within the United Kingdom. And I don't think anybody listening should be in any doubt whatsoever. The Scottish National Party is absolutely determined. It's what drives the party that they believe the best thing for Scotland would be for it to become independent. And that is not a goal or an ambition that they will give up lightly.
And what about Britain's position within the European Union? David Cameron has been promising to hold a referendum on that.
Well, that's the other big thing to come out of this election. Britain will definitely, David Cameron has said, hold an in-out referendum on our membership of the European Union by the end of 2017. And I suppose in some ways, on the one hand, you would say it's probably the case that Britain would vote to stay in. Business would get behind Britain's membership. Most of the political parties would get behind it. But there is a danger for David Cameron that in promising this referendum, he could be snatching defeat from the jaws of victory.
Rob, one more thing before I let you go. We talked to you the other day and you said Britons were sleepwalking to this election and that it was going to be really close. We didn't know who the winner was going to be. Why did this result take so many people by surprise?
I think it's quite simple. The pollsters got it wrong, which then begs the question, well, why did they get it wrong, Rob, you idiot? To which the answer is they don't know. But I think that there is a clue, and I think this might resonate with some Americans. You know, in this country, to be in favor of a center-right party, it's kind of uncool. you know, in a way that's just unthinkable in the United States. I mean, can you imagine large parts of the US where people are a bit shy about saying they voted Republican? But that is very much the case in the UK. The kind of culture is more pro-state spending. And so to have a party that's a little bit centre-right, it's no more than a little bit centre-right, people, British people, feel a bit funny about saying, oh, I vote for that party that's sort of associated with rich people.
Interesting. Well, we'll continue to watch what happens now. It sounds like a lot of things at stake in the future for the UK with the results of the election yesterday. Rob Watson at the BBC in London for us. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, and stay tuned.